Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's it like to be in public relations crisis management for some of the biggest companies in the world? Let's go in-depth with Jason Vines, author of What Did Jesus Drive? Crisis Public Relations in Cars, Computers, and Christianity, formerly of Pella.
Well, Jason, it sounds like you're coming home soon to Pella.
I'm thrilled to be coming home, not just to promote my book, but to see my mom and my sister and my brother-in-law and my little brother and his family. It's always great to go back to Pella, Iowa, the greatest town in America.
Well, and you grew up here and went to Central College, right?
Absolutely. I a lot of people think you always have to go to big universities, and I got an incredible education, both at Pella High School and the elementary, but also Central College. I really owe a lot of my career to what I learned from great professors at Central, who really took a kid who was a little too mischievous once in a while and straightened him up and taught him a lot, from Don Butler to Richard Glendinning, Betty Brunswig. They just taught me so much. Charles Roberts, just an incredibly great university.
Well, and we should probably tell people that you're speaking from your cell phone in your car because you don't have a landline and no cell phone coverage at home.
Well, we just the tower is too far away, obviously, here in Wilmington, North Carolina, and we do have a landline, but it's equally bad. So I have to burn fossil fuels whenever I do an interview on the radio or with any kind of reporter. So,
talk to us a little bit about how did you get from Pella to working, you know, with the giants in the auto industry? How did that all come about?
Well, I was, I graduated from Central, and I had an advisor, Dr. Charles Roberts, and I had an economics and theater double major. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to do next, and I was thinking about law school, and my advisor says, you got to go to labor and industrial relations. And I go, he says, you can combine both of these silly majors that you got. I ended up applying to the University of Minnesota and Cornell and Michigan State, and I got into all three, but I went up to the University of Minnesota by mistake in the wintertime. And I think there was 19 feet of snow on the ground. And although we're not immune from snow in Iowa, it was just too much, and the campus was so huge. I ended up going to Michigan State and went into that master's degree program. And two classes before I was done, Chrysler came after me and hired me as a labor economist. And they made it even better. They said they'd pay for the rest of my school. And so I started working at Chrysler. One day taking a test at Michigan State, the next Monday I was at the bargaining table with the United Auto Workers, and that started my career in the auto industry. And somehow I tripped into public relations at Chrysler, and that was where my career took off. I handled some of Chrysler's early crisis with sudden acceleration and some other faulty problems. They did the right thing. I then got hired away by Nissan. I went to California when Nissan was bankrupt, and I'm very proud to help bring the company back. Didn't do it myself, but help revive the image of Nissan. And then the wonderful Ford Motor Company came calling and hired me as their head of PR. And it's either a week or two later, after I started at Ford as the global head of communications, the Firestone tire crisis started. And for the next year and a half to 2 years, all I did was tires, whether it was 60 Minutes or congressional hearings. People are seeing hearings today in Congress on airbags with Takata or General Motors. I was lucky or unlucky to be involved in the biggest crisis in the history of the auto industry. And a year and a half later, Ford decided they needed to fire the CEO, my boss, Jack Nasser, and they fired me as well, and fired the head of human resources, and I was very proud of my efforts there. We saved people's lives. It took its toll on me emotionally and physically, but it was a chance to get back with my family. But I learned a lot of lessons about how to handle a crisis, what to do right, what to do wrong. And I used that later when Chrysler came back, Daimler Chrysler, and hired me as the head of PR. And that lasted all the way through Chrysler being sold to private equity, another crisis. And after about 6 months of that, I decided I didn't want to work there anymore. And I've had an interesting career since then. I worked for the largest Bible manufacturer in the world, Zondervan, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is, Grand Rapids is just a big Pella, lots of Dutch folks. So I fit in pretty well, even though I'm not Dutch. And I helped them navigate through, of all things, a potential crisis with a retranslation of the Bible. They tried to retranslate it years before, about 5 years before, and someone delivered the retranslation to the Zondervan headquarters with a bullet hole through it. So they brought me on to help them navigate through a retranslation. I didn't do the retranslation. Scholars did that, but I did the communications, and they actually launched that Bible without a glitch. And in my mind, some of the most important work I ever did, because it's the number one selling book in the world. By far. As I say in the book, it's not Harry Potter, it's the Holy Bible.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Jason Vines, author of What Did Jesus Drive? Crisis Public Relations in Cars, Computers, and Christianity.
Well, and let's talk about your book. Got a new book out, What Would Jesus Drive?
Yes, right. What Did Jesus Drive? With the subhead, Crisis PR in Cars, Computers, and Christianity. The latter, Christianity, is about my time at Zondervan, with a retranslation of the Bible. Computers is my time leading the PR and marketing of a Detroit-based computer software company, a longtime company called CompuWare. 2 days after I started there, and my job at the computer company was threefold. Rebrand the company, get one of its subsidiaries ready for an IPO, initial public offering, and to help redo the image of the city of Detroit. My boss, the founder, Peter Karmanos, was a tried and true Detroiter that wanted to help this ailing city. And he said, I need you to do this as much as I need you to help our company. But 2 days after I started there, the sexting scandal with the mayor of the city of Detroit, Kwame Kilpatrick, and his chief of staff broke out in the newspapers. And unfortunately, my boss defended this guy until the bitter end, even though we counseled him not to, because what happened later is that Kwame Kilpatrick was convicted of, I'm trying to think, 12 or 20 felonies, and is now in the Hooskow for 28 years. He ran a criminal enterprise, just raped the city. That's the only way I can say it. And, of course, as most people know, Detroit went bankrupt in large part, to the actions of this criminal mayor, signing off on bad debt and so forth, and lining his pockets and his friends' pockets with cash. And Detroit just recently, I think about a month ago, came out of bankruptcy. And it's looking better, but it's still very bleak. But I had to navigate through that with my boss, who wouldn't, after a while, listen. And it really hurt the company.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Jason Vines, author of What Did Jesus Drive? Crisis Public Relations in Cars, Computers, and Christianity.
What an exciting career. And I'm guessing that in the book, sort of lay out some bullet points on how to handle some of these, difficult PR times.
Well, I tell real life stories on mistakes made, successes, lessons learned. At the end of every major section of the book, I put a bullet of crisis lesson learned. And kind of the overarching theme of the book, you know, I start near the beginning saying I begin and end this book with the same question. Why do we have such a hard time telling the truth? Whether it's Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton, Lance Armstrong, Lois Lerner, the NFL. Your first guiding principle, you got to understand, you're going to get in a crisis. Every organization, every individual, it can be small, it might be major, but you have to be ready for it. You have to establish guiding principles of how you're going to act if a crisis hits you. And the first guiding principle has to always be the safety and satisfaction of your customers is paramount. No matter what industry you're in, you have to put your customer first. Number two, you have to tell the truth. You have to rely only on facts, not speculation, and certainly not lying. Because, you know, the old cliche in PR is the mistake will hurt you. The cover-up will kill you. And we see so many organizations that try to cover things up, and it makes it them. We're a very forgiving society in this country. If you screw up and you admit it, people forgive you, unless you've done something heinous like Bernie Madoff or you're a child molester or a rapist. We will forgive you if you own up to your mistake. But so many groups try to hide what they've done. You see it today. You see it today in the NFL. You see it in the IRS. You see it in the Takata airbags. You see it in the GM ignition switch issue. And when you try to cover it up, it unleashes an industry against you called plaintiff's attorneys who love a lie because they will exploit it and paint you as evil in order to get millions, if not billions, of dollars. So get ready for the crisis. Have your people know what their guiding principles are. And it's not in a binder that gathers dust on the shelf. It's face-to-face. Here is how we're going to act when the you-know-what hits the fan. We don't need to write it down necessarily. We have to ingrain it in all of our people that this is how we'll behave. We'll always put our customer ahead of legal implications, as in lawsuits, the avoidance of. We'll put our customers ahead of financial implications. And if you put your customer first, always, you will come out of a crisis intact, period.
I'm wondering why this just isn't more common knowledge. Is it our natural inclination to sort of obscure things and hope they go away?
Well, as I point out in the book, having a failure of telling the truth is biblical. It started with Adam and Eve. And the irony of Adam and Eve is when they lied, God covered them up, didn't he? So that was the cover-up in Adam and Eve. But you see great companies that have blown it lately. BP, when the Deepwater Horizon oil rig blew up, they couldn't tell the truth at first. Their CEO was not prepared for the crisis. He's a fat cat billionaire, and he's quoted as saying, I want to get my life back. Well, people had died in this. People lost their businesses. And you, a multimillionaire, want to get your life back? We saw it with Toyota and their sudden acceleration problem. They were not prepared. And these were companies, BP and Toyota, at the top of their game, and yet they weren't prepared for a crisis. Because, as I said, in the guiding principles, if you think you're immune to a crisis, you've missed the first guiding principle. And it tells me you are not going to be ready. And it can be any business, a small restaurant. You never know what could happen with food poisoning. You need to be prepared and have your employees on board as to how you will react if a crisis hits your company or your organization, like a college. There's a massive crisis here in North Carolina with the University of North Carolina about cheating with their athletes on phony classes. And they weren't prepared. We've seen it famously drawn out with the IRS, how they were targeting conservative groups, and then they lied about it, and then they got caught, and then they said Lois Lerner's, all of her emails were lost, and magically, a week and a half ago, they were found. So when you go down this rat hole of lies, especially in today's digital world, they get exposed sooner or later.
Wow. Well, what great lessons. And you're going to be speaking Wednesday, December 10th at 7 o'clock at Maytag at Central. And then you're going to be at a book signing Thursday, December 11th, the next day, from 11 to 1 at the Central Spirit Shop, also at Maytag.
Yes, and I'm really just kind of overwhelmed by the way my alma mater is kind of throwing out the red carpet, thanks in great part to my dear friend Larry Hopple. I feel like a proud son coming home. Yeah, I want to sell some books, but it's going to be more fun to just see my friends and colleagues. Jan Fried, a former professor at Central, is going to go to my book signing in Beaverdale the next day, the night of the 11th. And I'm just, I gained, my roots are Pella, Iowa, and I'm proud of that. I start in my book in the introduction about how I was destined to be a PR guy. It's quite a little naughty story, but I'll let people read the book. They can get it on Amazon today, an audio book, a Kindle, a paperback. It's not too expensive. Didn't want to make my first book too expensive. But the reviews on Amazon have been spectacular, and I'm moved when I read some of them, some by friends, some by people I don't even know. And it's unvarnished. I'll warn my friends and fella that haven't read the book. It's the way it went. It's all in. It's, as some have said, it's very non-politically correct, which people that know me know that I am not politically correct. It's fairly salty because that's the way it went down, and I don't apologize for that. My brother, little brother, and my sister are reading the book to my mom, and they're editing it as they speak so they don't get thrown out of the nursing home. But as I said, it's gotten great reviews, and it's opened up a new chapter for me. I've got 19 universities lined up already to go and lecture at, and that's the one thing I just am thrilled to be doing. I did that while I was at Ford and at Chrysler. I love going into colleges and going into these classes, ethics classes, business classes, and telling stories and kind of telling them what the real world is like. And not to be sanctimonious, but here's what I faced, and here's the lessons that I learned, and it's absolutely the most fun part of my career is going into these schools.
Thanks to Jason Vines for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.